This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
If your love train stops in Nassau County, just pull it right into WHPC, where you've got Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, here with your host, Ray Guarino, and the dancing Chris Switzer. How you doing, Chris?
I got my high heel sneakers on, I got my orthopedic socks on, I'm ready to dance this show away, that's for sure.
Yes.
How are you, Ray Ray?
Excellent.
How do I sound? Doing a microphone check here. 1, 2, 3, 3. 1, 2, 3. How do I sound?
I am actually going to bring you up a little bit. You tell me if it becomes too much. Let's see.
Whoop-ka.
I'll try it over here. Okay.
I must sound much better now. Yes.
Always good.
So, you know, yesterday was nice walking around t-shirt and shorts. We were, it was a balmy, you know, just in the, I would say, around the low 50s here in the Nutmeg State. And now I have to put on the mucklucks. Now it is, we have snow up to our lower lip, and I am freezing my canakas off down here. It's like, what is going on with the weather, gang? It's making me crazy kooky. Can't figure it out. Cannot figure it out. So, but anyway, we're going to muddle through as best we can here on this fine upstanding program.
So
I hope I'm still on the air here.
So no, you are. We're actually trying to kick up your level more because you are sounding a little low still. So we're just playing in the studio. I have our experienced ace engineer here.
Got it. Give me.
There you go. So we're playing with all the levels.
Kim Tracy, our experienced audio engineer. Ooh.
That's better.
Check.
It's like Apollo 13. There's a little note on the Zoom slide that says the Zoom level says right here at 20 and that's where it's always been. That's where we leave it. And that's where it's cool.
Right.
Well, now it's up more.
Yeah. Until it changes. I get it.
Yeah.
Technology at its craziest. It's what we do.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, you know what? I don't mind testing on the fly here. I don't mind.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. But yeah, it's between the weather, between the crazy weather and the crazy technology, I'm going back to bed. Good night.
Oh, I tell you. You're right. So, yes, snow notwithstanding. I know you have some snow work to do today. Yeah.
Sure do.
Well, you know, you're in the area where you get a lot more than that. You should have stayed in Brooklina.
No, you know what's funny about Brooklyn? I had a left.
Nothing.
The many things. Where I lived, there was house and a driveway and a house and a driveway, house and a driveway. So it wasn't like a row house. A row house, you wouldn't have to worry about this problem. But when you get snow on the driveway, you shovel it up and then you have to walk it. Because where are you going to put the snow? You're in the middle of two houses, and you can't get a car down the driveway because there's snow there. So you got to walk the snow.
Exactly.
So Right. I can't tell you how many times I wanted to get like a wheelbarrow, something like that, throw the snow in that, wheel it into the backyard. I've watched my neighbors put snow in empty garbage cans and drag them out to the street and dump them in the street.
Oh, really?
Dump snow in the street from a garbage pail. Oh, yeah. So at least here, I don't mind because you pick up the snow and you throw it away.
Yeah.
You just, there's always a place to put a shovel full of snow here in the Nutmeg State. Okay. There's always a, you scoop, drop it in, done, put it on the lawn, put it in the bush, put it on the side of the house, whatever, wherever, didn't matter. Mm-hmm. It just get it away from where it's both, where it's doing the most harm, get it away from there, but at least it's not far. You
right.
can put the stuff a foot away on a lawn. It's a, and these are the things that probably you guys in Long Island, you suburban folk, probably just go, yeah, hell, we do that all the time. With me in Brooklyn, it was a bit of a drag because I had not only one driveway, but I was the only clown shoes in Brooklyn that had two driveways to shovel. Yeah. Yeah. And that's when my neighbors that used to, they used to hate me because I had two driveways and they were driving all around to park their car. They couldn't find a spot in the street. Meanwhile, I had the luxury of two driveways. That's when they would get back at me and they would say, ha ha, Chris, yeah. shovel two driveways. Huh? How's your back?
Exactly.
I'd get that malarkey.
Yeah. So. Well, it's what we got to deal with. So I got to tell you something else I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with two things. I have to get a car to pass inspection this month that has had a chronic pre-catalyst code. It's a PO420, which is a very common code these days.
Now, if that's the same car I think we're talking about, you've been dealing with this for the last 10 years.
not 10, but a few. And every year, I always skirted it. This year, I had more trouble than not, and I've always said, I got a whole year now to put a cat in the car, and I never do. And I didn't do it this year either. So I'm trying the magic mystery elixirs. I had actually had Joe on the phone last night, and I was talking to Dougie at the UD about this as well. And there's a couple of things I'm going to try and then see if I can squirt that through. But the other thing that's going on, it's just,
wait, can you just to stay on this subject for 1 second, after you try all the elixirs and they don't work, you're going to try my way of repairing the problem,
which is
sell the car.
It's easier to sell it if it doesn't have a cat code, but then again, I can get the light to go out. I did that. So, yeah, I don't know, it's the beater in the family, so it's
right.
It's
I know they have a value, don't they? It's amazing.
Yeah,
that car probably has more of a value than one may think. I love beater cars because you get a clear head, you can park it anywhere you want,
right?
It doesn't matter, it'll always be there when you get back, as long as it's not running and the doors are open, it'll always be there when you get back,
right?
So, yeah.
I'm driving it today. So on another note, I told you last week about a problem I had with the FJ, where I had the check engine light and then all those the traction, suspension, trash control lights, and then they cleared.
You said it lit up like
right.
a pinball machine. Yeah.
Which is Toyota's dictum for doing that. But then they cleared after a number of key cycles, which is okay. That means it wasn't a real code. It was just something that glitched, right? Mm-hmm. Coming home on Friday down the highway, cruise control on, 60 miles an hour, bing, check engine light comes on. I'm looking at it. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, bink. Those four other lights come back on again after it. I'm like, okay. So
it didn't repair itself.
No. So I put the scanner on again, and I got a it was an air intake code, a throttle body code. So I'm like, okay, again, but the car's it runs perfect. Usually with a throttle body issue or an idle speed control, you'll get the car will hunt for an idle, or it'll be too low.
Right.
It'll be erratic.
It'll start missing. Right. There'll be some sort of performance issue.
Had none of that.
That you'll notice. Yeah.
None of that. So I said, you know what? Yesterday I said I was I wanted to do this since I had the truck. I wanted to just pull the throttle body off and just do a good throttle body cleaning because I'm sure it's carboned up. So I did. I took it all apart. And beautiful day yesterday. I'm working in a T-shirt, 61 degrees outside, right?
I know. I'm so envious.
It was so nice. So, what do you call it? took it apart and saw, yeah, the throttle body was pretty carboned up. And into the air track, it was carboned up. So I attacked it vigorously with throttle body cleaner and mass airflow cleaner. And I didn't even fully remove it off the vehicle. I left the preheat water lines attached. So I just detached it from the airbox and the intake and worked with it. It's right up front. It's easy to do.
So the throttle body cleaner didn't go into the engine itself, I'm assuming, right?
Well, I did spray some into the intake track, you know.
Okay.
Which is not bad if it did go in.
No, not a lot. Anything, but yeah, you okay.
Know. But I didn't spray it directly in, no.
Got it.
Put it all back together and started up and vroom, it comes up to a higher idle than it usually did, and then came down a little, and now it's running. Now it's idling at like, it was like, I don't know, like 1,700 RPM. I'm like, huh?
That's high.
So I blip it a couple times and said, let me just take this thing for a little drive and see what happens. Take it down the Meadowbrook Parkway to turn around. And it was funny.
In order for the computer maybe to relearn?
Yeah, exactly. And then come back, and now it's idling at about 13 and change. So I'm like, still kind of high, but you know, it shouldn't be that high. So now I go inside and I start looking up into the diagnostics and whatever. And I'm finding, this is why I got Joe on the line last night, because I said, all right, Joe, listen, I found in three Toyota sites, I found three different procedures. They're all talking about a throttle body relearn. And one of them was basically key on and key off like four times. Push the gas full throttle on or off like five times, then do the key again, put your hand out the window, raise the antenna, open the back window, swing a chicken around your head. You know, there was that one.
I remember those.
Yeah. Then there was another one that said you have to go use a scan tool to do a relearn. I said, oh, now that could be possible. And there was a third one that was kind of it was a matter of keystrokes and foot pumps. And I said, okay, well, I don't know what's what. I said, and then someone else said, you know what, if you just drive it, it'll relearn. Oh, the other one was pull the negative battery cable off for 5 minutes, you know.
Well, that one, yeah, well, which has always worked, right?
Well, which actually is a viable. So when I ran it by Joe, he says, yeah, a lot of those things are kind of, you know, superstitious. But the battery cable, yeah, because now you basically tell the computer, go to sleep, shut up. And what it does when it restarts, it has to relearn the map. Has to relearn the fuel map. So I haven't done that yet. So that's where I left it. I left it right now with that higher idle. I'm driving the problem car today, and I'll get back to the FJ. That one needs inspection next month.
But what you did was kind of interesting on a lot of levels, because not only did you do the research online for the problem, but you found four different alleged solutions. And now the research turns into, okay, which one is correct?
Right.
And that's something that I'm finding more and more as we do this program, we're moving away from almost like the repair of vehicles to the technological research of the problem and to delineate which is true and which information is true, which information is false.
Well, we've always talked about that, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's becoming more and more prevalent because I've been doing that content. I do that more now than actually fix the car. When I research it, I go, oh, wait a minute. It's like we were talking about it before the show. It's that emotional intelligence. You have to go, or that emotional knowledge to know, okay, this is false. This information is false. This information is true. And sometimes you have to have information in order to know what's false and true, what's believable and not believable. And when you're in these four different, when you have to do the superstitious version and then the pull the negative battery terminal version of the repair,
well,
and using the test equipment to diagnose. Those are three or four totally different ways of solving the problem.
Yeah, but doesn't mean they're all wrong. You know, Alan just said something to me. He said he had an exhaust manifold crack that caused that problem. And he's right. Oh. It's called unauthorized air entering the stream.
Right, and which usually is 95% of all of these problems, all these check engine lights, the emission control lights.
You know,
you're getting unauthorized air.
On the Mazda, years ago, I had that problem, and I went in and looked, and it was that pleated boot that feeds the air cleaner, and I stuck my hand into the slice that was in the, you know, because it got old and cracked. That was unauthorized air because it was after the meter's device. So, yes, that is a definite concern, and you have to be aware of it. In this case, you know, the Mazda with the cap problem did have an exhaust issue, but I had that fixed, I don't know, a year or two ago.
I had some unauthorized air in a lot less dramatic fashion on my old police car, on the old Impala. There was a valve that was up by the fuel inlet.
Right.
There was some sort of purge valve up there that was completely covered in sand.
Oh, yeah.
And it had stuck open and trip a check engine light. So I was able to pull that down, and all I did was clean it. I just sprayed all that sand out of there with whatever it was, fuel injector cleaner or whatever I used to spray it, and reinstalled it. And lo and behold.
I will say the PO420, the pre-emergent CAT code, is one of the most common codes you're going to see on a car. Mm-hmm. The EVAP codes, especially as the car gets older, those are the most common because, you know, there's valves, there's hoses that can collapse and even just crack and let air in. A lot of little things. And that's when you need you need a smoke machine to do the diagnostic a lot of times. So,
well, that's for the diagnoster, the one who's doing the diagnostics.
Right. So we'll see what happens.
He needs a smoke machine.
Yeah.
Dude, let me check this out.
It's called a hookah. I know.
Yeah, the hookah.
Kim is going to reset us. Okay. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry, Kim. Yeah. We had a check from a listener, and Chris's level is good. So we had the okay. Excellent.
Nice.
Thank you, Al, for doing that. Those codes are always they're maddening. You know, and of course, they're more maddening when it's like, you know, 2 weeks before your inspection is due. But
yeah, you really you're really up against it at this point because you have to get inspected, right? And of course, they're not going to.
I don't know what luck I'm going to have with the CAT code. I'm not worried about the Toyota. I got a feeling that's going to solve it. So that's going to be fixed easy enough. I think it will be because it's running so well. It's not exhibiting anything that's indicative of the things the fault code is telling you that it maybe have going on. So
probably simply going around it with a screwdriver and tightening down all the hose clamps
or replacing hose clamps. Yeah, yeah. Huh? There's not even. Well, like I said, I did. Throttle bodies are a known thing. You know, and this one, obviously, just by the condition of it and the amount of carbon that was in it. Now, here's a fuel-injected engine that's metered and everything is done by computer, and there's still a carbon buildup. Now, that's not just this vehicle. Pretty much all of them have this happen. So,
yes, they do.
Even without having a dirty old carburetor on a car, carbon builds up over time. And this thing's got 130-something thousand miles on it, and I'm sure that was never cleaned. That's why it was in my head to clean the damn thing. I just never got around to it.
And you never took the intake off the car, off the top of the motor anyway.
No,
you never did that, right?
No.
Because, I had that experience with the little Chrysler. I had the intake off it, and once the intake was off, I cleaned it within an inch of its life. The Pathfinder was another one that had over 120,000 miles on it when I popped the top of the motor off and I cleaned the intake, and it was a dirty mess. It was a black gook was coming out as I was spraying it, and you know, you're astonished. You're like, oh my god. you feel terrible as an automotive enthusiast and owner, a maintainer, an active maintainer, and you go, look at the sludge coming out of this thing.
Now, like I had said, back when I first got the truck, one of the first things I did was put spark plugs in it, and I found out that there was a combination of plugs. I think the one bank was original from 2008, and the gap, instead of being at 42, I gapped them. They were at like 80-something thousandths.
And you get your pinky in there.
And I'll tell you something. This thing didn't it didn't throw any codes for ignition miss. It didn't rumble, stumble, fumble, nothing. The thing was smooth as could be. It started right up. It drove fine. I put the new plugs in, and then when I hit the gas, it took off a little faster, but
a little quicker,
but it wasn't bad before, and those plugs were shot. So it just goes to show you the longevity, how long those cars can go before something. Now, like I've said, back in the old days, we drove carbureted cars with points and all the other old stuff. And, you know, you could tell. I used to know, I got to go out and adjust the points. You know, the ignition's a little weak. It's not starting right.
Right.
You know, or I got to adjust the carburetor. I can tell it's a little off. And you just knew that. Now, you get no warning. The car fails. You know, it'll get to that point where it'll just fail. So
scares me. It's frightening.
That's why the maintenance is even more important, though, because you have to be on top of it to see, like, know what you did, so at least you know what you could eliminate as a possibility, you know, when you have a problem. It gives you a little more information. But.
And the frightening thing is, like, you could look at the inside of a distributor and you could see the cracks, you could see the wear on the posts, you could see all those things. You can pretty much denote the life of the distributor cap just by looking inside it. When a coil pack fails, how does one know? It's a black box.
Right.
Black box just goes boop and no longer works.
The best thing you could look for, I remember Mike Landry, a caller that was a regular on this show years ago.
Sure.
He was a mechanic. Mm-hmm. And I was having problems with the same Mazda early on with a PO300 code, which is a random misfire. And
and
he said, it's got the long boots that go into the valve cover. He says, pull them off and just look at them really close. Get a magnifier. He goes, look for white tracks. Look for tracking or arcing from the wire boot. And he was right. I did find one of the problems that way. It was a common problem with cars like that with an overhead cam engine. So again, you have to, and again, it's coil on plug. So it's the coil with the boot. Right there. Two coils go right in. It's only two. It's two coils for four cylinders. So two of them go right in, and then there's two wires. So that's it. And he was right. I did eventually find a problem like that, you know. And again, it comes from experience and doing it and knowing. So, new car.
Knowing the experience to know the true information from the fallacies.
Yeah, but sometimes the stuff that could be a fallacy in one case could be the problem you have in another case. You know, you really got to be able to disseminate.
No, it's true. And that's what every time I would research a project, when I first started researching it, I would try and find the stories that all had similar steps with a similar outcome. So if I found two or three stories that all sounded the same, I figured, okay, let's go there first before I pull the negative terminal off the battery. Dump everything.
You know, that's why the companies like the scanner companies now, Snap-on does it, Matco does it. I don't know if some of the other aftermarket ones do. I know they do. There's like a network. They have names for it. I forget what they call it initially, but it's basically, there's like a repair database in there. So you have a problem with a car, you can go into the repair database and you can see in graph form what the most common and least common repair procedures were that fixed that problem. And the information's coming from other technicians who are uploading it from, these are guys working in the shops. It's not the guys on the forums. These are guys in the shops. These are real, real technicians.
And I'm sure there's a paid service,
this
service.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I would gladly pay at times.
Well, when you have the scan, you're paying for the, because you get updates and all of that and all the current information. But I've seen that and I've looked at that and said, wow, this is great. It's like having access to 1,000 mechanics around the country who all worked on my car, And they, so again, it's like mechanics helping each other. So that's cool. But we'll see. We'll work it out. And you know what else is cool? Model cars. We've talked about models in the past quite a lot. And we mentioned there was a model car competition going on down in Desiland Park in Orlando. And it got postponed a couple months ago. Well, it's back on again for June 12th of this year.
Okay.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Just Google Desiland, D-E-Z-E-R Land Park. Look it up. You'll see. You'll be amazed when you see this thing. They're going to have classes for best box stock, best custom, best paint, and best junior builder. And I'm going to see if we can use some Motormouth Radio influence to get a celebrity judge to go down there who's very, very competent and big in the world of models to judge it. You can also you can pre-register if you want. I guess go to their, I don't have the website in front of me. I think it's Desiland, probably Desiland.com. But
I have DesilandPark.com.
Okay, Desiland, D-E-Z-E-R, LandPark.com. You can go there, and you can find a link to register. If not, we'll have this on our website, MotormouthRadio.com. And, of course, you should follow us on that, as well as Motormouth Radio on Twitter and Facebook, and Real_MotormouthRadio on Instagram, which we really haven't been posting much on lately because it's been kind of slow, but... And anyway, so check that out. And I got to say, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour, so you better warm up. But I also have to say, people should listen to the show called Good Gold. I wish I could do
Good Gold.
A good impression of Mr. Big Ed Newlands.
Oh, loving Ed.
But I need Big Mike Sims here to do it, and that certainly isn't me. Big Ed plays the hits and the forgotten songs of the 50s, 60s, and 70s Mondays at 10 a.m. on this station. And I tell you, if you want to hear a guy, a jock, who sounds like a jock, and I'm not yes. talking about a football carrying wizard. I'm talking about a real DJ who knows how to do stuff.
He's got mounds of sounds. That's right. Ed Newlands, mounds of sounds on good gold.
Maybe in another life that was my part. I don't know. Maybe it will be in another life from now. Who knows? It
isn't now, I would though. Be sorry if it was.
Yeah, it isn't. Well, it sure isn't now.
Right. Not, neither is it for me, too.
Not with the mistakes I keep making. I'm destined to just... You know, mea culpa myself right through this damn place. But
welcome to radio. You make a lot of mistakes.
Hey,
welcome,
you know what? So be it. You know?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Worry?
The joys of live radio. It's,
exactly.
It's preposterous.
I watched you long enough to know that I can afford to screw up, and it's like, you know what? We all do it, so...
Yes, okay. sir. And yeah. I'm watching your hands never leaving your arms. You're smacking the buttons and moving the sliders. And I'm sitting there going, boy, that's not me.
So speaking of hands up, moving arms, smacking, smacking sliders and doing cool stuff. Do we have the newest feature for the Motormouth Radio site, the Honor Group of the Hour?
Of course we do. We have to keep our webmaster busy. And yes, we do. We have a Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you find any excuse to avoid getting gas in your car, do you not enjoy the experience of pulling up to the pump? Is it always too hot or too cold or too windy or too rainy? Or like today here in the Northeast, is it too snowy? Got to pull up, get out, walk to the kiosk, stand in line, make the purchase, walk back, remove the nozzle, undo the gas cap, and begin fueling. And forget about using the credit card with that added surcharge. You don't want to bother doing that. No, you'd much rather take the walk. Do you look at your phone while fueling? You're not supposed to, with the chance of a spark igniting the fumes, but that has always been proven, never been proven. So you look it up on your phone while you're fueling anyway. You want to make sure that that is the truth. So after the long 10 minutes is finally up, you hop back in, start it up, drive away. You look at the fuel gauge results, and that's when you notice the car's running better.
Yeah, right?
So if you find it a pain to pump, then you are part of popping your peas and part of the Motormouth Radio on
yeah.
the hour.
That's a big one, boy. That's a lot.
There you have it.
Excellent. So with that, we will do our, we'll take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back with more, and we'll do a little homage, because it's Memorial Day tomorrow. No, I'm sorry. It's, what is that? It's the Cupids. It's Valentine's Day. That's right. This
heart. Right. It's the truth. It's Super Bowl Sunday today and Valentine's Day tomorrow. Someone definitely had perfect timing there.
So we'll our songs will reflect that today. Of course, our first one, the Love Train. And now this one, too. This is for the guy, maybe all the single guys out there who are just going to be in Super Bowl overload or whatever. So let them have their way. And we will be back. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Motormouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it and try not to cry through the song, okay? Be right back. Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going. Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fount of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No,
you see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show
we've
ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
Oh, yes, that hurts. It hurt, but we got through it. Right, Chris? Did you get through it? All right.
Yeah, I love when it hurts. I know.
Yes. We're playing
speaking
with volume again. What?
Speaking of hurts, 516-572-7440, right? That's the phone number.
Good
we're
idea.
Taking calls.
Yes, we are.
It's painful, but we're taking calls.
That's correct. Absolutely.
So I was just thinking about your emissions code.
Yes.
And you know what? I know that truck ran well. I have a feeling you got some air getting in. You may have to just tighten up those shrinking hoses, and you can solve your shrinkage problem.
Oh, boy. That's always going to be fun, right? That's going to be that's always an issue. Well, I tell you what else is an issue. The light is lighting. The phone is ringing. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's Al Handy. How are you?
Hey, Al. What's going on?
Hey, Al.
Yeah. Just wanted to go over, at least with the general public, what's been going on with my truck. The ABS light has been on a lot, and it engages unexpectedly on slow stops. So I've been taking it back to the dealers 9 times.
Yeah.
They've changed 2 pumps, 3 modules, 2 radios, and a bunch of other things. So finally, they contact Ram. It's a 2018 Ram Power Wagon.
Okay.
And Ram tells them to change out the PCM, which they did. That should take care of all the problems. Now, doing a little research online, which is great, Chris. I know you just do research and you find out all neat stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is a very common problem with these trucks. The 2017, 2018 trucks have problems with the ABS sensors and the modules and the pumps and everything else. Why? Who knows?
So, Al, you mean you can't just pull the negative terminal on the battery and put it back on and everything will be, the problems will be solved?
No.
What?
In fact, as I go along with the story, I'm going to pay homage to Joe. Because he always says, ground wire, check the ground wire.
Right.
Always.
Mm-hmm. So I get the truck back with the new PCM, a mile from the dealer, it trips the code again.
Oh,
so
isn't that a joke?
I call him up, and I say, this is great. I say, well, it tripped the code again. So, all right, so we contact Ram. I get a manager from Ram itself. And Ram Cares. And they said, oh, well, we can't do anything else. The truck has been modified. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Really?
No.
Oh, you've reached the end of your rope. What a surprise.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, there's something out there called the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. Mm-hmm. And that was done back in 1975, which says that the manufacturer of the vehicle needs to prove to the owner that any modifications that were performed to the vehicle is the root cause of the problem.
Okay. I like that.
So I told them finally, I said, no, I don't believe you. You just can't tell me that the truck has been modified and leave it at that. You've got to prove to me that my modifications to the truck has caused the problem.
Al, did they say what modifications they were referring to?
Yeah.
No, they did not.
Okay, because you, I know you have a lot of body modifications, but not...
Right, there's also... well, I'll give you... To digress really quick, bring the truck in for the tire pressure monitoring system. It's always going off.
Okay.
Guy tells me that my tinted windows is blocking the signal from the TPS to the computer.
Really?
I'm like, okay, where'd you come up with that one?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a doozy.
This is what I'm dealing with. So anyway,
boy.
I'm on the internet, and I'm looking for all the suggestions to figure out why my ABS isn't working. One of the suggestions was check the fuse box. All right, so I checked the fuse box, and none of the fuses were seated.
Oh, you're right, right.
They were all loose.
Yeah, you had mentioned that on one of your posts. I found that to be kind of, that's weird.
What?
Yeah, isn't it the factory?
Yeah.
The second
loose
one.
Loose fuses.
Check the plugs, make sure there's no corrosion, which I did, no corrosion. The third one, thank you, Joe, was to check your ground by the ABS system. So what I did is I took it off, sanded it all down, put it back, and knock on wood, I'm knocking on my head, I have not thrown an ABS code since.
Now, you got to wonder why the dealer, couldn't. I mean, the dealer probably looked at it and said, oh, yeah, the ground is there, the nut's attached, it's good. No, you have to physically inspect it. Yeah.
Yeah. They probably pulled on the wire, went, okay, it's not loose, fine.
Right.
So, it's just weird that, I wanted to first make the listeners realize that there's a law out there, federal law out there, stating that the dealer has to prove to you that any modifications that you made to your vehicle is the root cause of the problem. And my dealer actually said, we can't prove that.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I'll tell you something, Al. Our good friend Matt Coleman Bryan just said that back when he was a mechanic turning wrenches, it was possible to get a bad component, but they used to get him after 3 or 4 replacements. It was always in the wiring harness. He said that was the problem. It was always end up. And then you had to just start digging, you needed a good schematic and you had to start diagnosing.
That's where all the wires were, right?
And that's where the ground comes in place with the same thing. But yeah, yours was a newer vehicle, but I know with an older vehicle, one of the things I always do with those cars is just start taking the grounds, just release them one by one, dress them, put them back, and a little bit. And then you get to look at the wiring and the connections. And
yes,
right.
Ray, I can't tell you the heartache you saved me just by. I do the same thing. You're absolutely right.
You and Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. It come down on me. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I can honestly say lights are brighter. Things are more responsive. It is truly an important component that we all overlook at times.
Now,
I'm glad you're able to solve this problem with a wire brush.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah. One of the questions I have for you guys, and maybe somebody out there knows, would low brake fluid pressure trip an ABS code?
Low brake fluid pressure.
Yeah, so you press on the brake, and the brakes, it's like stepping on a wet sponge in these trucks.
Okay, let me tell you this. I know this on new, this is my wife's car. Her Cruise, it drives me crazy because I've bled. What you have to do is there's a combination of bleed procedures. One of them is called a computer bleed. And with a scan tool attached, you go into the brake bleed system to that menu, and it will instruct you with the key on to press and hold the brake. And then what it'll do is it'll activate the ABS system, and you'll feel the thing pulsating. And then you'll do that a number of times. Each vehicle is, you know, car manufacturers are different. Right. And then they recommend going through with a manual bleed of the wheels. So I asked Joe years ago, I said, how are they doing? How's this computer bleeding my brakes if none of the bleeder valves are open? And he said, no, it's an internal thing to break up any bubbles into much, much smaller microscopic bubbles. And I said, okay, I get that. But where are they going? It's still a sealed system. And, you know, and in a master cylinder, you say, okay, it rises to the air. The you know, it's like the Poseidon Adventure. You're in that little air well up on top of the sunken ship. But in the ABS pump and the lines, there's a lot less of that. And no one really knows. All we know is that the right way to, if you really want to, sometimes it's the only way to get a better brake pedal is to do the computer bleed and then a manual bleed.
Well, I guess that's where the air is going. Once you do the computer bleed, making all those bubbles into smaller bubbles, then you do the manual bleed, I guess, to evacuate the air from the system at that point.
Yeah, the problem is if air gets stuck, trapped in the solenoids in the ABS pump, that's where all those little tiny, it looks like a you know, valve body, but with smaller passages, you know, from a transmission. That's where it breaks it all up. Yeah. So I would look into that, Al, and then, you know. And then go out and buy a 68 Dodge Ram, you know.
My wife, it's killing me because I'm looking at the first generation Cummins.
Ah, there you go. Well, that may be killing you, but she'll be killing you next. So,
yeah, right, exactly.
Fight the good fight, Al. Keep us posted.
Right, either way you lose.
Love hurts.
All right, take care, guys.
Okay, Al, thanks.
All right. Thanks, Al. Right, safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good friend, Jeep and Al.
That's hysterical. But yeah, it sounds like, definitely sounds like a classic air in the line.
We got air on the phone. We got another one here, Chris. Let's go to the phone and go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah, hey, Chris. It's Dan.
Hey, Dan, what's happening?
Hey, Dan.
And how's everything? I just wanted to tell you, I did something similar with the Toyota, but what happened was I went to jump start it. I wasn't thinking with the Jeep. And I bought a bunch of the fuses. It was a nightmare. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You know, I had to take everything out and get it done. But I had the same issue, you know, with the throttle, having it, you know, like the idle and stuff, and it was a nightmare.
Right.
And I tried all of that. I went online. I did everything. You know what was the easiest thing to do? I went to Toyota. I got the throttle body cleaned, and they reset it with the computer. And it was perfect. And it really wasn't expensive. It was cheap. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like about $100 or something. You know what I mean? And they did it. They cleaned it. It's beautiful.
Wow, that's my question.
I did that, what they said exactly, shut it off, put the key on. I did all of it.
Right.
And I couldn't get it to do it.
Well,
so,
that's,
you know what, the heck
with it. That's the case of the relearn, right. And I guess what they were getting at on the forums is that the relearn can be forced if you disconnect the battery. Some guys even say you disconnect it and you touch the battery cables together.
Ooh,
well, no, not the battery, just the cables, you know, to actually, you know, shut everything down. It's like, you know,
shorting the system out.
It's like degaussing a capacitor. Yeah.
Degaussing.
Right.
Yes.
It's kind of like doing that.
I tell you, I just knew it was easy that way. It was reasonable. And you know what? It saved a lot of headache. I tell you, I wanted to find out, on the Z4, and I'm going to probably have to change the battery on that, but I heard it's like a nightmare.
BMWs are, yeah. BMWs a lot of times need a system reboot when you change a battery or a light bulb, and you need the BMW scan tool to do it.
I don't know if I want to play around with that. But,
you may want to go see, well, you know what, go see our buddy in Freeport. I don't know if he's got the scan tool. That's the way to do it. But yeah, BMW is great. Mercedes too. Change the battery. You need a scan tool. Really.
Yeah, because there's something about the alternator works. How the computer reads the battery and the alternator is not on something like that. You know,
right.
I don't know. But
there is a block in the battery cable that is now that's that piece that you're talking about that it actually monitors.
So, I see. Oh, yeah. That's why I like the old cars. You know?
Dan, Dan finally, he sent me a picture of his Mustang a few weeks ago. I had never seen that car. I like that car. That's a sharp-looking ride. You know, it's a little...
Yeah, I had it. I had two of them. I had another. I had a 68 fastback also. But I got rid of that.
This one's a little sweaty looking, Chris. Just like a little sweaty looking out of the barn. Yeah, not like, you know, it's, you know, we're not talking pristine. It's a driver. I like it the way it is. I think it's
And I got the convertible too. I got the 67.
I like the fastback. Yeah, I like the
Yeah, so do I. I'm still a fan of the Steve McQueen bullet car. So
right.
Oh, without a doubt, and that thing went for a fortune. You know?
Oh, I know. Well, we're talking. I mean, we're a fan of the clones too. So
yeah, oh yeah,
yeah,
oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's that car. Yeah.
But, I always think, Dan, yeah, what can you do with that car? Let's say you spend $3.5 million for the Steve McQueen original. Now what do you do with it? I mean, the only thing you could do with it is load it onto a trailer and bring it to different places and show it off. You can't drive it.
But, you know, the funny thing about it was the guy that bought it, you know the whole story, right? The guy that bought it was a Jersey cop that bought it years ago, right? And he had it. And
yeah,
then
he sold $3,500 for it, 1974. Yeah, sure.
It was a daily driver. He sold it to the doctor.
His wife drove it.
They drove it as a daily driver. I was like, it was amazing. You know what I mean? And then the other owner that got it was some doctor, I think, out in the Midwest. And I think he had, and what he did was, it was in the barn. He wouldn't let anybody see the car. Roy got out that the car was there. It was amazing. And then they found another one. In Mexico,
There was another
one that did all the jumps. That was in Mexico. That was in the yard, in Mexico.
Right. That was a shell.
I think all that stuff has been documented on Hemmings or Haggerty's website. I think they have some articles on that. They probably both do, as a matter of fact, Hemmings and Haggerty. So.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, there's a lot of history. I mean, I remember seeing that in the movies.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, you know, and I felt like I was sitting in the car.
Yes.
That was the whole idea.
That was the first movie that made me. That was the first movie besides The Exorcist that made me feel queasy.
Whoa! You know, I gotta tell you, I know you guys. I don't want to keep you busy, but I'll just tell you a funny story. You know, when I seen that movie and when I seen The French Connection and The Seven Ups, you know, those movies inspired me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Especially after Bullet, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I'm in Long Beach. I'm on the boardwalk, and there's a guy that's there. He looks homeless almost, but he's not. He's in the senior citizen's home, you know. And he has a guitar, so I'm talking to the guy. You know, and he tells me, you know, he was an actor. He was a professional musician in all these groups. The guy was in the French Connection.
No fooling.
I'm telling you, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I got to be friends with him. You know what I mean? But what a great guy. You know, I'm telling you, he was the guy that was the informant. Do you remember, he goes in Bed-Stuy, and he goes, he gets the informant, puts everybody up on the bar, right? And then he goes in the bed.
Right.
That was him. You know what I mean?
Oh, cool.
Not only that, he was in all of these groups. He knows all of these artists. He's telling me stories. I'm amazed. I'm telling you. He's writing like a screen. He still wants to get into it. He's trying to write like a movie. He's got the script. He's been writing, and, you know.
You never know who you're going to meet on the boardwalk.
Exactly. I'm telling you. You know, here's a guy. You look at him, and he's, you know.
And then you go under the boardwalk, and you meet a whole other group of people.
Under the boardwalk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they want to be stars, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. Thanks for that. It's great information.
Guys. All right, nice talking. Bye-bye.
It's all good.
Thanks, Dan.
What a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. I love getting good stories from Dan. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Very true.
516-572-7440. Do we have time? We've got a couple of minutes, right?
Yeah. In a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, we're going to have Dave Darden from Power Probe on. We had him on a few years ago talking about the Power Probe tools, and I got a couple of their new tools. It's a USB chargeable soldering iron. So now I got to use this. I have to use it. I'm really curious. That's why, you know, I've always been curious about these things. I have a couple of the different butane powered ones. I have the smaller butane ones, and I have a really big one. It's like 8 inches long. That Mamaluke is.
I like where your hands are there.
Yeah. That one is killer. But the smaller ones are okay too. Of course, they don't last as long. And they're easier to lose when you're in the car, and now they are hot, so there's a issue with that.
Got a problem.
Yeah, I know. So
that's why I keep ashtrays. You know, no one knows why I keep an ashtray.
I got a few in the garage too, yeah.
Yeah, keep an ashtray because that's a perfect spot for a warm soldering iron is
right,
an ashtray.
Right. So I'm gonna use that thing and see how it works. And then I also have one of their short finders. It's to find. So I think I actually have to induce a short in something.
Come on, all the shorts are in the bedroom drawer. What are you talking about? I know.
Didn't find them,
though.
It's
like the pair you got on now, the camo ones. Right. Those are rough in the snow.
Yes, very true, very true. So we're going to talk about all about PowerProbe because the PowerProbe tool itself is a fantastic diagnostic. You know, Joe used to always call it a test light on steroids because it is. It's really a powered test light. And a voltmeter, and it can do, you know, it's a lot of things in one little package, which is very easy for diagnosing electrical stuff on cars and trucks. And the beauty thing is they give you like this 20-foot or 20-25-foot test extension lead with it. So if you hook up to the battery at the front, like on Mike's motorhome, we did this a couple of years ago. We had to diagnose a light problem on the motorhome. You power it up in the front, let's say, and now you have 25 feet of cord you can run to the back of whatever you're working on, if it's a truck or a trailer or, you know.
That's great, because I can't tell you. Yeah, when I was doing the diagnostics on the fuel gauge in the big Chrysler, yeah, I can't tell you how many times I had the alligator clips on wires,
yes,
and I'm clipping them together to get to the back of the car.
Perfect application for that. Yeah, the power probes are great for that. And it's become kind of an industry standard. It's like a Fluke meter or other diagnostic tools. That's one of the ones that you'll find them in pretty much any shop. Not everybody knows how to use them fully. And I'll even say I've used mine a lot, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert user because, you know, if you use it every day, you're going to become an expert user. You know, I've seen guys do things with them that are really impressive. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. We'll have Dave on from PowerProbe, and we'll talk.
That sounds like fun. I must admit, I have to keep the manuals, the books, and all the manuals to all my tech stuff.
Yeah,
because I forget how to use it.
Sure.
I truly forget how to use it. After a while, it's like I stumble on a problem, and I'm like, oh, all right, let me just go get the box and open it up, and I'm like, where does this go? Yeah. How does this work?
You don't like anything if you don't use it all the time. Yeah, you need a little refresher. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. My head's at right now, where it's like, okay, let's get the tool, let's set it up. Wait a minute, get the manual. Okay. Oh yeah, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. Yeah. I forgot. And you've probably been working on solving problems basically on a daily basis or semi-daily basis. So it's nice to keep it all fresh in your head.
It comes and goes. It's not always daily anymore. It's, you know, it does. Because it varies. It's and some of the stuff that you do is just kind of, you already have it down to rote. You know what you're doing. So you don't, you know, it's not complicated. It's just stuff you've done 100 times, which is the stuff that you do tend to remember. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been fairly fortunate last couple of months. With automotive problems. The only ones that have been giving me grief were the ones sitting in the garage. Thankfully, the ones that were out in the open, as I'm knocking on my head, knocking on wood.
What's going to be up with the big one this year? You have any plans? Or where are you picking up where you left off?
The big one, you know, here's the funny thing.
It's the only one right now, right?
Yeah, it's the only one. I'm looking for seats. Let me tell you, it is, I have got a wide swath of what I can put in this car as far as years and types and colors and whatever have you. And I'm like getting to that point where, not that I'll take anything, but I consider anything. And, and I mean, along the Chrysler line, as far as anywhere from like 1970 to 1966, 67, somewhere around there. But it's truly a chore to find them, because you find them, but they're in Washington State. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I'm not shipping a set of Chrysler seats cross country.
Our good friend Steve Magnante, he's up in Massachusetts, and he's been doing this when the weather was nice, a junkyard crawl that's up there. And I forget what part, was it Worcester? I forget what part of Massachusetts. He says it on every video, but there's a ton of old Chrysler's in this yard. And big, so that may be, so that's kind of within striking distance of you. That's sure. It's better than Washington State.
Well, and that's the whole thing, because these are parts that usually do not get advertised on the web because they're so big.
Right.
And a lot of times they get scrapped with the car.
Yes.
So they usually don't sell. The only way they can sell is if you go to where the yard is and and find those cars, like you say, and extract the parts and throw them in your car and drive away, never to be seen again.
Yeah.
And especially old Chryslers, because they're not around. And that makes it even worse. I mean, everybody and their mother is selling Camaro seats. Everybody's selling Nova seats for some ungodly reason.
Try to find a bench.
Yeah.
He found a yard he did videos on a junkyard crawl that was in Texas that, again, had a ton of old Mopar stuff. I mean, but
I believe it.
Texas a little further away.
Yeah, and that's my whole thing. And the funny thing is these yards that have these big C-body Chryslers, these guys don't advertise on the web. They're not the type of guys that are going to fool with a computer much. They just have their shop. They have their yard. Everybody, all the locals know who they are, and it's just up to me to do that treasure hunt. Get in my car, fill it with gas, you know, throw a bag of Chick-fil-A in there, and just, you know, take off and head on down the road with a map.
So what are you saying? Those guys are a little more plain kind of individuals?
They're an earthy bunch. Where's
that kind of computer thing? I don't know what that thing is there.
What's that thing there? Computer? What's that? I don't know what that is. Put that away. So yeah, it's either that or, you know, try and give it to someone else to let them pick up the trek, let them follow the dream, because it's getting to that point where, I mean, the car runs and drives, everything is fine. It's now a matter of making it cosmetically nice,
and that's nice. You know, that's nice because
you have to know where to draw the line.
No, it's good because it's used, like, even my cars, like my Fiat. Ever since I got it, 16 years I've had that thing. I wouldn't say it's not finished, but you know, it's in a drivable condition where I can use it and enjoy it the way it is. And even the Pontiac, when I started restoring that, I kept it as I did all the mechanicals first and kept it as a rolling driving vehicle through the whole body process so that I could I actually enjoyed it for 3 years that I wouldn't have if I had done it, you know, another way.
And that's the way to do it.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that was my choice. So
I cannot see, and I don't understand how people can do it. I really don't. I would love to know how people can buy a vehicle and completely dismantle it.
Yeah.
And now you have a pile of parts in your garage. Now your intent is to put it all together, but life gets in the way. Well, money gets in the way. You will have so many obstacles at that point. I can't tell you how many ads I see on Facebook Marketplace, on Craigslist, that have car just needs to be reassembled in the ad. And what's worse is, like I always talk about, you see a picture of the car together, and then you see a picture of the car in pieces. Well, which is it?
I did it, and it was dogged determination and perseverance, and it was a matter of nobody else in that garage.
Right, so, and that's what I mean. But
the time had to be now, right.
Right, so I always felt keep the car running. Always keep the car running. Just in case, let's say you need cash, you got to sell it. The car runs.
Right.
It doesn't look good, but it runs. And I mean, that's
very topical, because speaking of running.
Yes.
We're going to run out of here. The clock has run out. You got to go shovel snow. I got to go home and have lunch. So what do we always say? What do you always say that Chassis John always says that you always said that I prompted him to say that now we all say?
Don't follow us home and make sure you got comfortable seats.
You got it. Chris, once again, good show this week. We'll talk again next week. Motor Mouth Radio, we're signing out. 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
See ya, bye.
All right.